It's a trap.
Hello and welcome to episode number 191 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan, and I'm joined as always by my co-hosts, Carson Ray.
Hey everybody, it's a great day to talk about X-Wing.
And John McDermott.
Hello, it's nice to be back on this week.
We got the team back together, and we're ready to talk about some exciting X-Wing developments. This week, we're going to be focusing on one of the scenarios from the recently released Epic Battles multiplayer expansion, which released the weekend before last. So hopefully you guys have already gotten to try out this scenario, but we're going to talk about why we love it so much and give you some tips for how to play it most effectively.
Yep, that's it. Let's get right to it. All right, before we get into talking about the sweet new scenarios, particularly Aces High today, we got to interrupt for some breaking FFG news, some app updates.
Or lack thereof.
Right.
I mean, it's an update about the app, but it's not the app being updated.
It's an update about the app not being updated.
that's it. So we got some official information. So when the Epic Battles multiplayer expansion, along with the re-release of the Tantive IV and the Sea Rock, as well as the conversion kit, huge ship conversion kit, which is basically introducing the Epic format into X-Wing 2nd Edition, a lot of people noticed upon release that the point totals for all the new upgrade cards that are Epic exclusive were not included on the official FFG squad builder, which prompted some people to post public questions to FFG about when those points are going to be added, and it looks like they aren't.
Yeah, so this is a really weird take by FFG. Not sure what this stance means. You know, you just have this big release. You know, this has been anticipated by fans for a long time. Everyone loves Epic. And it looks like, you know, they've done a really good job with it in second edition. You know, adding the wings, the mechanics on the huge ships are really cool. And then, you know, like the story of second edition, then once you get to using the official app, you get disappointed. And now they're just, like, not even trying. They're just not even going to put Epic on it.
Well, I think it's especially disappointing because I think there is, like you're saying, a decent amount of hype for this. They had a lot of things going in their favor. The conversion kits enabled you to play with all the previously released huge ships. You not only can play those in the factions they came in originally, but you can also use several of them for the newer factions in the game. So you have an option. You can fly any faction in the game and still have a huge ship to play for Epic, which I thought was pretty cool. We were all pretty bummed at Worlds, you know, just about a month ago now, where we were expecting to see the release of the huge ship conversion and the Epic Battles multiplayer expansion at Worlds and then be able to use it for side events there. Well, that ended up not being the case, and the release date got delayed for several weeks. But I think the weirdest part about them saying they're not adding the points is it doesn't seem like they're intending to add them ever, because it wasn't like a, oh, we haven't had time to add them yet, or, you know, we're getting delayed on updating the app. It just said that they are not going to be added and that we should use the point lists provided online, which is a little cumbersome.
Oh, it's that makes it unplayable, I think. If I have to bring out a calculator, like, why am I playing X-Wing? That's part of the appeal of this game, is I don't need to do that. Like, that's why you play Warhammer, if you want that level of squad building.
That was one of their biggest selling points of second edition, too. Like, oh, all the points are coming off the cards, and you can list build in the app, and it's going to do all the math and cool things for you. Okay, well, like, so we still don't have points on the cards for the Epic stuff, and now they're not in the app, so it's not going to do the math for us. So, like, all the things they advertised are not realistic with this new Epic release.
So, John, I know you already played at least one game of Epic. Did you just, you know, print out the sheets there and you grab a piece of notebook paper and build your squad? Was that your only option there?
Lol, no. I used Launch Bay, man, because the third-party apps happen to be where it's at, as it seems with Epic. So I'm going that route.
Yeah, shout out to Launch Bay Next and YASB for, you know, continuing to make this game we love actually playable.
I think it's just especially weird not having the points printed on there, because, like, I like not having the points on the cards, obviously, because then they can update them. It's not confusing for players. But if you're expecting us to build squads just off a PDF document that lists all the upgrade points, that's just not a feasible way to do it. Like, Epic already takes some additional setup time. We don't need to amplify that even more.
Well, and what's super interesting about it, too, is, like, it doesn't even actually highlight in the huge ship rulebook or the scenario book anywhere that you can squad build in the app, which is interesting because the actual X-Wing 2nd Edition rules specifically mentions squad building in the apps. So it's almost like they never intended to put Epic stuff in their official FFG product, which just seems like a really bad move to me.
Yeah, it just seems like a deterrent to get people from playing these cool new scenarios and this newer format to the game. But right, thankfully, Carson, right, this is the only piece of bad Epic news we got this week, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a terrible thing when a player dials in the wrong maneuver, but when Fantasy Flight dials in the wrong dials, that's rough.
Yeah, so this was another sad piece of news. I don't have confirmation that it's every copy, but for the second edition releases of the Tantive IV and the Sea Rock Cruiser, which are, if you didn't already have them from first edition, they made standalone expansions so you could get them, which is great, but they have a pretty serious misprint in them. The dials in the Tantive IV and the Sea Rock are misprinted so that they're actually the dials for the Raider. Whereas the conversion kit, if you're converting an older set of huge ships, has the correct dials for each ship. And this is a pretty huge misstep because the Raider dial is very, significantly different than the Tantive or the Sea Rock.
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, it makes the ships operate very differently than how they're intended to, which, I mean, when you're playing around with something like a large ship seems kind of problematic.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to swap out my Fang Fighter's dial for, an RZ-2 or just TIE Interceptor, right? Like, those are pretty close. Just some slight color differences.
And we already did have a dial misprint in the Guardians of the Republic expansion. That was the multi-ship expansion for the Republic. But they actually caught that early on enough that they included corrected dials so that, they didn't have to send out additional ones. It was just caught during production. This one was not caught during production, and I'm not sure if there's an easy solution other than FFG mailing out a bunch of cardboard. Because, it's not just that everyone has this dial and they can re-update the rules to use the same dial for all the huge ships. Like, there's actually different dials depending on whether you were converting or bought these ships new. So it seems like it's going to be kind of a problem for people who want to play Epic.
Yeah, and if you did buy the Tantive IV or Sea Rock expansion, please reach out to Fantasy Flight customer service and, have them send you the right dial. All right, so that's been a app update. Let's move on to the fun stuff, talking about Aces High, our new favorite scenario.
Yeah, so this is a scenario that was featured at Worlds a little bit. We didn't have the full rule set at the time. Thankfully, we do have the full rule set now. For those of you who haven't checked it out yet, it is pretty cool, and we'll just give you kind of an overview here to understand what we're talking about before we dive into too many tips and tricks.
Yeah, so Aces High is a free-for-all game mode. You can play, somewhere between, 2 to 8. I'd recommend more than 2 players because, really make this different than other ways to play X-Wing is to have, more than 2 players. I think, when you're up from 4 to 6, like, that's probably the best range. But it does get pretty crazy when you're around 8 players as well.
Yeah, and the way this game is structured is each player is just going to build a squad of just 1 ship at a certain point threshold. At Worlds, they were running it at 80 points. The recommended values in the scenario guide are 50, 75, 100, or 125. I would recommend, if you're going to try it out, go in that either 50, 75, or 80 points as your threshold, because I think that's the best area where there's the most interesting decision-making. When you get a lot more points, you just eventually run out of things to do with all those points.
Yeah, I am not interested in playing this format at any points really above 80. Because I think 80, maybe 75 points is really a nice range for this because you have so many different ship options. You can have, a lot of the best aces in the game, and then a lot of other ships, you have room to really fully upgrade them and make them just as competitive.
I think the 80-point limit is one of the more interesting caps on this format. Just really makes you think harder about kind of your selection and what it is you want to fly in the format.
Right. And so that was what was run at Worlds. And I think, you know, I wasn't sure about that point total, but then just seeing all the diversity that players brought within that point range of, like, I think that's probably the ideal point range.
Yeah, I think, you know, 80 points or 75 both feel pretty interesting to me. One thing I really like about this format is that it is score-based. So essentially the way you play is that you're going to have your single ship. Every time it dies, it's going to respawn at the end of the round. So you're not focused on survivability. You play on a 3x3 grid. You set up your hyperspace markers, which are those weird little somewhat triangular tokens that you got two of in your core set. You set up four of those, two at range three in opposite corners, and then two at range one in opposite corners. And then you get points depending on how you do damage. So the first time a player is damaged, whoever does the first point of damage on a ship after it's spawned or respawned gets 1 point. And then after you destroy a ship, you'll get 2 points.
Yeah, and so this really puts the gameplay, I think, in the right spot. Like, if you were just all aces running away from each other, that's not that interesting. Instead, you're trying to just score as much points as possible. So you're going to just, you know, rush into these conflicts, you know, get that early damage to score those points, and then try to finish ships off to score even more points. And then if you get destroyed, it's not that big of a deal. You're just going to respawn at the start of the next turn.
But it does create some interesting dynamics in the game, especially since it's kind of included a catch-up mechanic for people. So every time you destroy a ship, not only do you score the points for that ship, you get a point put on your ship card so that you can start accruing points, basically bounties on you, so that when people destroy you, not only do they get the 2 points for destroying you, they get any of the points on your ship card. But if you hold on to those points up until the end of the game, you actually then get to score all those points on your ship card. This can create opportunities where if people are really lagging behind and one person is just dominating, if you time it right and you destroy them after they've destroyed a couple ships, you're going to have a huge score all of a sudden.
Yeah, this is a really good catch-up mechanic because, you know, sometimes people can get pretty far in ahead if they've destroyed a few of the ships, but then whoever finishes them off scores a bunch of points and is right back in the game. And also, you know, being destroyed is not that terrible because with the respawn, you know, using those hyperspace tokens, you can really, if you roll well, get into some pretty good positions for the next turn.
Yeah, so now that you've got the baseline understanding, if you haven't played before, let's talk a little bit specifically about why we like this format so much.
I mean, the big thing for me is multiplayer. You know, this is something that's really hard to deliver in a balanced way that, you know, forces people to engage and not just play cautious and stay safe. And I think this point scoring system does a really good job of that. And, you know, just having a multiplayer game adds a lot of fun to it because you get to do some table politics. You get to work together to deal with a challenging player. And there's some great betrayal moments as well, which is really fun.
Well, and I've had some fun moments too in the games I've played where I kind of tag team with another player who's running behind like me, where we agree to put ourselves in positions where, well, let's shoot at each other and we'll each score the first point on each other and then we'll move in and start attacking the other ships. So you can set yourself up there to try and catch up to the people in the lead. And just having the politics built into multiplayer, that's something you don't get in a standard game of X-Wing. A standard game of X-Wing is more about reading your opponent, visualizing your maneuvers, and, you know, making good exchanges. This is a lot more about, okay, what's my long-term strategy here? Who's going to be my biggest problem to deal with? And how am I going to maximize, you know, the handful of shots I get to score the most points?
All right, so we don't really bat rep here on Radio TCX, but I think, have to take a little moment to talk about just a betrayal that happened at Worlds that I still haven't quite recovered from. I was playing Nian Nub with, you know, all of his shenanigans, Black One, Pattern Analyzer, and was trying to work to set up a, I think, double Talon roll turn to get in a really sweet spot to pressure someone who was in the lead, and was just coordinating with Isaiah Brody so that he wouldn't block it. And he's like, oh, sure, of course, no problem. That sounds awesome. And he does a zero stop and just completely blocks my first town roll, and I do nothing that turn. And I think I do nothing for the rest of the game after that.
Classic Isaiah.
I got last place.
But you have those fun moments, too, where you don't really get those in a standard game of X-Wing. It's really fun to have that element in there, and I found it varies a lot depending on the number of players. So when you're playing a four-player game of Aces High, there's a lot of, you know, very careful decision-making you have to do. You have a finite number of other ships shooting at you, so you can really kind of make interesting decisions and plan things ahead. When you get up to playing with eight or even more people than that, it is a different kind of fun because it's just abject chaos.
Yeah, I think if you're taking more than a minute to set the dial, you're playing this game wrong.
Or if you're like me, you forget to set the dial sometimes.
You have one dial, Tim.
I know, but I'm too distracted by the fun I'm having.
Sure.
Yeah, one of the really cool things about the Aces High format is it changes the way that you value your pilots and upgrades. There are definitely some upgrades that have kind of a limited application in a standard X-Wing game that can be a lot cooler in a format like Aces High. Like a good example would be like Electronic Baffle. Wouldn't see it a lot in a typical game, but might have a really cool spot in this format.
Yeah, and there's stuff like R3 Astromech. We'll talk about upgrades a little bit later. But in general, even though you're using the same point scale that you use for hyperspace or for extended, the way the upgrade cards are played, since you only have one ship, you often have a lot of points you can invest in them. So suddenly, a lot more of the niche upgrade cards you can include there just because you have the points for them. And they can do some interesting things. One big change you'll see is that cards that have kind of limited charge values, you're more willing to invest points in those since every time you respawn, you'll get all your charges back. So you can, you know, get that advanced proton torpedo, even though it only has one charge. Yeah, if you fire it once and then blow up, that was probably going to happen anyway. So you're ready to fire it again the next time you respawn.
Right, and then because you can't spend your points on a second ship, you know, once you pick your ace, like, you might as well fill up those points as much as possible. And so that, you know, leaves some upgrade cards that usually aren't costed quite right for, you know, normal competitive play. But, you know, when you have the points to spend, are actually pretty great and really fun to use. And so that's refreshing, too.
So let's talk a little bit about what makes a great ace in Aces High, because it's very different than what makes an ace good in standard X-Wing.
Well, what I like the most about that is, you know, you kind of put some air quotes around the word ace because... Like, yes, some of the traditional aces in X-Wing are pretty good in Aces High, but a lot of them are not at all what we would consider an ace. They're just an expensive ship, but, you know, I think, you know, the main point here in what makes a good ship for Aces High is, you know, the focus on damage over survivability, that is kind of contradictory to what most aces want.
Yeah, so it's weird because you can invest a lot of points into an quote-unquote ace for Aces High that isn't very survivable just because you know you're going to respawn. So in a lot of cases, either you will ignore defensive abilities just because, all right, my ship's going to die anyway and I don't have a lot of hit points, or you'll go the other direction and just invest in a lot of hit points so it takes the other players a long time to destroy you and then score points on you. In a lot of cases, that's a pretty huge deterrent where I was playing against... Lots Razi in the YV666, and man, when you take the first point, that's cool, but you don't want to have to do the other 11 points of damage because it's not a certainty that you're going to be the one who's going to get the final shot to kill it.
Right, yeah, that ship is way more survivable than Soontir Fel or Darth Vader. You know, ships that only take a few good shots to put down, and like any shot could finish them off, so players are going to take those shots.
The other question is, how do you choose a ship with good initiative? Because the initiative matters, but it can matter across the spectrum. So on the one hand, if you have a ship with a really high initiative, that generally means you're going to be shooting sooner, so you're more likely to take that first point of damage on another ship to get that first point, which is huge. A lot of the points you get in the game are getting those first point damages. But at the same time, if you have a ship that shoots later in the sequence, depending on where you fall and depending on what you're matched up against, having a later initiative is good because you can have the potential to get the kill shot, which will generally net you more points.
Right. And, you know, moving last is still good. You know, arc dodging is still good. And so there is that value to initiative. But, like, if you're a low initiative ship that, you know, has a good area of fire, you know, whether you have a turret or just multiple firing arcs, or just deal a lot of damage out of your one firing arc, you're going to be just fine. And, you know, oftentimes those initiative 6 or initiative 5 pilots are going to whittle somebody down, and you can just get some easy free points, you know, finishing a ship off.
You also get to make some fun decisions about not choosing to engage a ship, because you might only have a couple targets, but if you doing damage won't kill them and only make it easier for someone else to kill them, well, you can kind of make that other player suffer by not doing any of the damage, and then they also have to not damage it, which is great for the ship being targeted too, because they're going to get extra time to fire.
All right, so let's talk about some of the best upgrade cards so that y'all can build some sweet aces.
So one of the first and I think most obvious ones should be Lone Wolf. Carson, you love Lone Wolf, and this format is a great option for it because it's always on. There are no other friendly ships.
Right, absolutely. You have to come up with a pretty good reason not to include Lone Wolf on any ship that can take it. In fact, if I have a ship that doesn't have a talent slot, I feel like I'm missing out in Aces High if I can't take Lone Wolf.
Well, it is pretty good because it's versatile. And one of, it's interesting because in Standard X-Wing, I feel like one of the best reasons to have Lone Wolf is for the defensive reroll, which is really rare. In Aces High, I feel like having the option of either of those is what makes it good. So you can get the offensive reroll when you're trying to force the damage through or either score the first point or get the kill shot. But then in clutch moments where you're trying to prevent your opponent from scoring on you, either for that first damage or for the kill damage, having that defensive reroll can be a big factor too, because once the player gets to 6 points in a normal game of Aces High, the game's over. So you might have to prevent an opponent from killing you just so that you have a chance to win.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the first to 6 points. I like the timed one. I think that's more interesting, but that's just me.
See, I'm actually on the opposite side of that because I feel like the race to 6 points makes it more interesting to me. Hmm. I feel like it's a little too volatile if you're just playing to time.
I feel like the bounties get to matter more in the race to time.
But no, it's cool though when, like, with the bounties, because you get to score the points that are on your card when you hit the end of the game, so that can actually be a deterrent to someone. So if you have a bunch of points on your card, someone else gets to 6, but that's going to push you to 7, they're not going to end the game there, which I think makes some more interesting decisions.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on.
Hey, that was
you know, if you're not a ship that can take Lone Wolf, another great option is Heightened Perception. Because if you can't take Lone Wolf, that means you're probably a Force user.
Yeah, and Heightened Perception is something we haven't seen a lot in Standard X-Wing. It lets you spend a Force charge during the start of the engagement phase so that your ship engages at Initiative 7, which, like we've said, is very vital there. Because if you are a lower Initiative Force user, probably like a 4, even a 5, just to get that first point of damage in, having Heightened Perception can make all the difference.
Right, or if, you know, someone is at low health and, you know, that first shot might finish them off, great option to pop Heightened Perception. You know, if you don't need it and you want to wait so you can fire at a lower initiative, you don't have to spend it. Heightened Perception's not that expensive. Most Force users don't have that many upgrade slots, so you might as well take it.
Beyond that talent or force power slot, though, there's lots of great upgrade cards. Munitions in general seem to be pretty good. You know, standard stuff like proton torpedoes, since you have the extra points to invest typically, are not unreasonable to get. One thing that I've been trying that's really interesting is a homing missile, which is not a great upgrade card for standard X-Wing. But it actually does a pretty good job of forcing through the damage early on. If you guys aren't familiar, homing missile is a 4-dice attack at range 2 to 3, but your opponent has the option before you roll the dice to just suffer 1 damage, and then you don't roll the attack dice, which is pretty interesting in Aces High, because if they can't really just choose to suffer the 1 damage, because that's just automatically giving you the point. At the same time, it's a pretty cheap way to get 4 attack dice out, which are at least modded by the target lock, if not another action.
Sure is.
And generally speaking, charges don't matter that much. So things like advanced proton torpedoes are viable, proton rockets are pretty solid. Lots of great munitions options.
Right, yeah. Deal a bunch of damage, and then, you know, when you do get destroyed, just respawn, get all of your munitions back. It's a great strategy. Really, anything with, like, a finite number of charges is pretty good. Afterburners is another great example. You know, it turns any ship into a pretty mobile ace. You know, and those few turns you use it, that's what matters. And the mobility is pretty crucial because, you know, you might respawn pretty far away from where everyone else is, and you need to get back into the fight as quick as possible.
R3 Astromech is another good upgrade to being able to take multiple target locks, since you don't know who you're going to shoot at in this format necessarily. Helps you keep your options open with target priority as well.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Like, R3 doesn't get to see much play because usually regen is just the better Astromech. But regen is pretty terrible in Aces High, which I love. You know, getting back up to full shields just means someone can score another point on you by dealing that first damage again. So that's really not what you want to do. Plus, survivability is just not super important.
Well, and cards like R3 Astromech or even Perceptive Copilot, like if you have opportunities to have multiple attacks, either with a veteran turret gunner or a veteran tail gunner, having ways to modify both those attacks are good. But even on just like Luke or Wedge in an X-Wing, basically anything that has an Astromech slot and a torpedo slot, being able to take R3 Astromech and get double target locks means when it comes to engagement time, you can decide who to shoot. Because you might not know, like, oh, if this ship's going to be damaged, I want to have the option to shoot it for the kill. If not, I'll just shoot the other target and take the first point of damage. Leaves your options open there. Because it's really not so much about dealing the most damage, it's dealing the right amount of damage at the right time.
All right, so this next one's kind of interesting because it's not necessarily specific to anything with multiplayer. Pattern Analyzer, though, just I think is pretty big. You know, on a ship that can take it, or any card like this kind of effect where, you know, there are times where you need to do these K turns or Talon rolls or sloops or zero stops or whatever. But each turn, I think, matters so much in this game. And so, you know, taking that turn to flip around and then not getting mods that turn is pretty rough. And so I think, you know, Pattern Analyzer is a pretty nice upgrade on any ship that can take it.
Yeah, I know ships like Quickdraw really benefit from this. The Quickdraw build I was running had it on there, and it really helped a lot for those handful of turns where I really wanted to focus in on a target to go for the kill points. But yeah, anywhere, generally you're going to find in Aces High that you're not going to be flipping around that much, because usually the better option is just to pick a different target, which is usually the exact opposite of what you want to do in normal X-Wing. Like, time on target's really important in standard X-Wing. Here it's, I don't know, I shot this guy, I got my point, I'll move on.
Right, and, you know, another one that's pretty good for when you're switching targets or just doing some surprising maneuvers is Collision Detector. You know, another limited charge card, and, you know, probably has more charges than you need in Aces High. But, you know, obstacles play a pretty big part. Most of the engagement happens in the middle just because of the structure of the hyperspace tokens. And so things can get pretty jammed up, especially, you know, when there's a bunch of players. And so just freeing up more of the board space for you is pretty sweet.
I want to talk, though, about what I think is one of the most interesting cards, because in Aces High, it accomplishes something that you wouldn't even think of in standard X-Wing. The electronic baffle modification, where after you receive a red token, you can take a damage to discard it. Taking damage to discard red tokens, not great in normal X-Wing. It's amazing in Aces High because it effectively means you just perform a red maneuver after you spawn or respawn, discard that token by taking a damage, and now you've taken away someone's opportunity to score a point on you.
Worth.
Yeah, it's pretty savage.
Yeah, there's other effects that do this too, like the Saw Gerrera crew, where you can, you know, take damage to modify your dice. If you're at a high enough initiative, that's amazing. So anything that lets you, you know, you might even just run through an asteroid to try and take that first damage, all reasonable decisions that can be made in the game.
Or if you're just a Woof-O-Raru, then that's pretty good.
So I feel like an appropriate way to end the conversation about Aces High is to talk about some of our favorite aces for the game so far. We also want to hear what your builds are right now. So I'll post the question here when I post this episode. But let's just go with the 80 points, just because I think that's the most comfortable way to play it right now. I'm interested to try other point values. But post your favorite 80 points ace for Aces High. And let us know why you picked the upgrade cards you do, because that'll be interesting. But here are our picks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Quickdraw. The ship just kind of does a lot for what this format wants. You know, it's got a pretty good initiative for mobility and shooting first. And just the ability to shoot twice in a turn is huge. You know, you can get that first damage, you know, score 1 point, and then still be able to finish off a ship later on in the combat phase when they shoot at you. Really powerful.
Well, and I mean, I use Quick Draw in one of my Aces High games, and she's also great because she can do a lot of damage, get a lot of those first hit points thanks to the pilot ability, where if you lose a shield, you can spend your one charge to perform a bonus primary attack. You can just load this thing out like crazy. So you can get Quick Draw with Special Forces Gunner, Homing Missiles, Electronic Baffle, Fire Control System, Fanatical, and Pattern Analyzer for just 71 points. And there's a lot of variations you can make to that. You can do Cluster Missiles instead of Homing. You can change up Electronic Baffle to Afterburners. You've got so many different options to throw on Quick Draw.
Some Force users I really like are, you know, Luke Skywalker or Mace Windu. I think they both make great use of the heightened perception, you know, being able to shoot at initiative 7 and still just having a really deep force pool for all these mods. Maul is another fun one, you know, with the hate. Kind of like Quick Draw, just the ability to shoot twice, just throw out a lot of damage. Plus, you know, you're not a great target, you know, with all those hit points. There's even some fun politics you can do with hate, you know, having people shoot you to get some force back.
I think the build I had the most fun with, the first time we played Aces High at Worlds, where I knew it was going to be an 8-player game, I ran Wolf in the ARC 170, which was hilarious with that many players out there. So Wolf's pilot ability is you have one charge on your ship. When you're performing a primary attack out the front arc, you can spend it to reroll one die. And then if you don't have that charge active, when you perform attack out your rear arc, you can recover one charge to roll an extra die. So I loaded out my Wolf with Perceptive Copilot, Veteran Tail Gunner, Electronic Baffle, Lone Wolf, and Advanced Proton Torpedoes, which I never needed to use, but I had the extra points, so why not? This was great so that with Veteran Tail Gunner, after you perform a primary attack out the front, you can perform a primary attack out your rear firing arc. So basically, I set myself up where I'd attack out the front, spend my charge to reroll, I'd have mods from Perceptive Copilot with the focus. Then after I did that attack, I'd go out the back, recover the charge, get the extra die, and then still be able to modify it with Lone Wolf if I needed to, and then have that focus token from Perceptive. Plus, I'd always use Electronic Baffle, perform a red maneuver early on, like a four straight, after I spawned or respawned to take the first point damage away from me. Pretty gross.
Some other ones that surprised me were the Scum Hawks, you know, either Torkoal Mux or Polyp Gadali. You know, when you have 80 points, you can put a ton of stuff on these Hawks. It makes them real fun. Torkoal Mux does some pretty fun stuff, you know, with players' initiatives for combat. So that's great. And Polyp, you know, taking these tokens, you just have a plethora of modification, real good.
I will say, though, the funniest build I've seen in Aces High so far, and I'm encouraging people to try and beat how hilarious this is Lots Razi in the YV666. Her pilot ability is okay. It's not really an important part of the build, but what you could fit on her for a total of 80 points is Contraband Cybernetics, which allows you to spend its one charge, and until the end of the round, you can perform actions and execute red maneuvers while you're stressed, along with Han Solo Gunner, which before you engage, you may perform a red focus action, and then Jabba the Hutt Double Crew, which during the end phase, you may choose one friendly ship at range 0 to 2 and spend one of the four charges. If you do, that ship recovers one charge on one of its equipped illicit upgrades.
Yeah, that's pretty silly, just being able to stop turn after turn after turn, getting that Contraband Cybernetics back so you can stop, you know, take your action and then get a Han Solo trigger as well, get that focus. Seems pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, if you set it up right, you just basically do a stationary shooting gallery where you move lots into a position, and then for four turns in a row, you get target lock and focus from your upgrades. Now, at the end of that, your four Jabba the Hutt charges, you're going to end up with probably like 8 or 9 stress, but that's okay. Hopefully, you're going to be dead at that point, so you can just respawn and do it all again.
Yeah, so many great options, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. So many more I want to try out. So yeah, let us know what your favorite aces are for Aces High. Or if you've tried any of the other new scenarios in Epic Battles and really love them, let us know. There's just so much fun X-Wing to explore that is not standard X-Wing games, and I'm really excited about that. As much as I do really love the standard X-Wing format, it's crazy refreshing to get all these new options to play.
It's definitely a nice break to have something different to do in X-Wing after Worlds, you know, while we recover and get ready for the next competitive season. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. We are an X-Wing podcast, so we won't talk about The Mandalorian, but the first two episodes are already out on Disney Plus, and I think all three of us would very much recommend checking that show out. It is a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully John and I can talk Tim into letting us just chat about The Mandalorian, maybe for some Patreon content or something.
I'll consider it. I mean, John was kind of talking our ear off this episode, so I feel like he's said enough, right?
I may or may not have been distracted just doing builds for Aces High the whole time. So. Don't hate
me. He's like The Mandalorian. He's a man of few words, but they're all real good.
Great show.
And sometimes hilarious.
Go watch it.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. Hopefully you're enjoying some epic games. Do let us know on our social media what scenarios you like the most or some of your great moments from your epic games. Those are always fun to hear about. There's a lot more narrative, I feel like, when you're playing in the epic format. If you like the show, please go into our Facebook page, facebook.com/RadioTCX, and give us a like. We're trying to get to 1,000. We'd appreciate your help on that journey.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
If you enjoy the show, consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review saying what you like and why you think other people should listen.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us.
Again, folks, thank you so much for listening. Go enjoy some games of Epic and go watch The Mandalorian if you haven't already. And if you have watched it, watch it again. It's pretty great. Otherwise, we will talk to you next week.
McClunky.
John, do you want to do, since this next part doesn't require knowledge, you want to cover step C there? Talk about that a little bit.
I'm great about talking about things I have no knowledge about, sure.
I do that every week. McClunky.